Hey there, how you doing today on this Thursday in St. Louis? I'm Bernie Miklas. Welcome back to another Bernie Miklas show here on YouTube. Delighted to do these for you. I enjoy doing it. It gives me a reason to do research and look things up and make sure I got all my facts straight. Although sometimes, as you have pointed out, rightfully so, I will misspeak. I look at my notes and I misspeak. The other day, I was talking about Mizzou football possibly finishing with a 10-2 record. Which would be kind of hard to do considering that they already lost three games. But again, that's my problem. I love the notes. It's where I have all the information ready. Sometimes I look down at the notes and I don't read what's on the handwritten chicken scratch paper, right? So anyway, thanks for putting up with my errors, which obviously are not intentional. And I got some numbers today. Here's what I want to talk about. And thanks for subscribing. Thanks for your support. Please leave comments. They're wonderful. Appreciate you. By the way, yeah, I am a Navy football fan, a diehard Navy football fan, but yes, that is correct. If you notice this, I am wearing an Army cap, West Point, the cadets, the Black Knights. And you say, well, how can you do that if you're a Navy fan? Well, if you understand the rivalry, you know that basically Army fans root for Navy every day of the year, except for one, when the two teams play. As a Navy fan, I root for Army in every other game they play, except for when they play Navy. Yeah, it's simple as that. Now, not all the people feel that way, fans of the respective teams. But I think a lot of fans do, and I know that's how I feel, especially my good friend Jim Thomas, the longtime NFL and NHL writer for the Post-Dispatch. If two sons graduate from West Point, so what? I'm going to hate on West Point? I don't think so. And why would I do that anyway? You know, given the service of all the cadets and all the midshipmen in the Navy, the cadets in Army and the Air Force Academy, given the service to the country. Seriously. All right. Here's what I want to talk about today. Now that we got the 2-minute preliminaries out of the way. A big factor in whether the Cardinals can rebound offensively in 2025. And perhaps rebound in a major way where they go from having one of the worst offenses in the National League to having an above average, at least, offense in the National League. And that would be, I think that is based on a lot of things, but I'm not going to get into every single factor. We know what all these factors are. They got to hit better with runners in scoring position. We know that. I'm not going to go like every single category. I'm limiting my focus on this for the Cardinals offense to rebound in 2025. One thing for sure has to happen. And to me, it might be the most important thing that can happen. What is this? Well, Jordan Walker and Nolan Gorman. If we view them as one entity, they're a tandem, two players, but the combined quality of their offense, what they can put together, the two of them, if you add it all up, if they have a 2023 type of season as opposed to a 2024 type of season, yes, it is a significant difference. And yes, if they can get closer, a lot closer, or maybe even succeed what they did in 2023, this offense automatically gets a lot better. Now, can I give you some numbers? Because I want to tell you what I'm talking about. And what I did is I took Walker and Gorman and their combined stats. I put everything together, like I said, as if they were one guy. All right. Just imagine for a reason, any reason that I'm talking about one guy. It's actually two guys, but I got their collective hitting performance in 2023 and then in 2024. All right. In 2023, they combined for a 256 batting average. Okay. In 2024, they combined for a 202 batting average. That's a drop of 54 points, right? In 2023, they combined for a 335 on base percentage. Last year, it was 269 combined, Gorman and Walker. That, my friends, is a drop of 66 points. That's big. Slugging percentage. You know, it was very nice in 2023. Jordan and Walker collectively slugged 461. Nothing wrong with that at all. That's really good, especially considering their ages in 2023, right? And even now, we'll talk about their age later, but you know, both of these guys in 2023 were still learning the ropes, right? And they had a combined OPS in 2023 of just under 800. But in 2024, the slugging percentage between them dropped 72 points down to 389. And the OPS, are you ready for this? Dropped 138 points between them. Down to, where was it? What did I do? It was like somewhere in the 400s. I mean, it was just really, really bad. Sorry, I didn't write that down. See what I mean? Sometimes I don't even put my notes together correctly. But anyway, it was 138 points. Whatever the heck. I think it was 658. Okay, that's what it was. It was 658. Why did I say 400s? I'm messing this up already. No. So their combined OPS went from 796 in 2023 to 658 in 2024. I didn't even think it was that good, but it was. Pardon my confusion. So other ways to look at this, in 2024, compared to 23, Walker and Gorman produced 19 fewer homers, 57 fewer RBIs, 11 fewer doubles, 46 fewer walks, and their total bases were down by 127. Their extra base hits were down by 31. The number of times that they got on base from 23 to 24 dropped by about 157. We're talking about massive drops, right? Massive drops over the cliff. No way to stop your fall. There's a fancy pants stat that I like called win probability added. And in 2023, the two of them together were plus 1.5 above average, which is fine. Last year, they were nearly three below average, minus 2.7. So that's bad. And that was a bad drop. If you look at offensive wins above replacement, they combined last year were right about average together, right about the league average. Nothing special, obviously. In 2023, their offensive wins above replacement, 4.3 WAR between them. So again, you've seen another catastrophic example of how bad they were as a tandem in 2024, and both spent a lot of time at AAA. It's amazing to think that back on June 4th of last season, Nolan Gorman was slugging 508, and he had an OPS well into the 800s, and he just plummeted. I mean, once he lost his confidence and didn't know what to do at the plate and just was all messed up in the head as far as strike zone discipline, getting way behind in counts. I'll give you some stuff on that in a minute. But anyway, just a total loss of confidence. He just fell apart. Walker was just screwed up from the beginning, but he worked in the minors. And ironically, I'll never forget the story that Derek Gould wrote about this at the Post-Dispatch STL today, where Walker talked about he started to work on things down in Memphis because he was sick of failure. And he started to say, okay, what do I have to do? And there wasn't a roving instructor in Memphis at that time. And what happened is that a veteran minor leaguer, an outfielder for the Redbirds, Mike Antico, been around a long time, he worked with Jordan in the cage. He, in effect, was the de facto hitting coach. So that minor league system, so bad, it was so horrendous that when Jordan Walker needed some help, a teammate was the one who, in effect, stepped in and became his coach. And some of you wonder, well, I don't know why they feel they got to do all this. I think a few people say that, but not anymore now that we've learned so much more about how bad it was. So anyway, the numbers were, from 2023 to 2024, just awful in terms of the collapse. So here's where I'm optimistic, and you can disagree. because I could be wrong, obviously. Where I'm optimistic is I think they can get back on track. I mean, first of all, next year, Gorman, they both have birthdays in May. So in May, Gorman will turn 25, and in May, Walker will turn 23. So that's 48 years between them. So their average age, the two of them together, their average age next season is 24. We ain't talking about 29, 30-year-old guys here, right? And we know what they're capable of doing because we saw Gorman do it when he came up in 2022. We saw him slug 478 and hit 27 homers in 2023. We saw Jordan Walker have a really good rookie season, and I know they sent him down, but that's because they panicked and they didn't know how to fix him at the major league level. And they sent him down. He came back up. But if you look at, you know, how he finished the season, his numbers for a 21-year-old rookie were really, really good. I think he was about, if you use OPS plus, I think he was about 14, 15 points above average. And Gorman was about 14, 15 points above average in 2023. The last year, again, they cratered. Both of them cratered. There's no other way to put it. I do think coaching has a lot to do with it in terms of because no one could figure out how to fix them and get them back on track. You had to send them down to Memphis where you hoped, I guess, maybe someone would work with them. I don't know. Is that something they could count on? I might be exaggerating it, but I really don't know. Because obviously the players down there don't get a lot of help. I think the manager is very good, but you know what I'm saying? I'm talking about organizational influence. Will you bring people in there, coaches, special instructors, to work with them? Not for a day or two, but to stay there and work with them. They just don't get that individual attention. But I think with a new batting coach, and I'm not putting it all on him, the players have to make adjustments. It's up to the players, Gorman and Walker, to get smarter at the plate, more disciplined at the plate, to reduce or eliminate their bad habits, and also work closely enough with a hitting coach that they'll start to incorporate, implement some of the things that are being taught to them. And I'm not saying that Gorman was resistant to changing things. I think Gorman was just a very confused young man last year. And after all, Turner Ward was his batting coach in 2023. He was the team's batting coach in 2023 when Gorman had a really good year. In 2023, you also had the same hitting coaches in effect working with the rookie Jordan Walker. But for some reason last year, no one down there at Busch Stadium could figure out a damn thing about how to get these guys on track. And I do think, in fact, I know this, I think in terms of style and what he's going to preach, I think that Brent Brown, at least what we know on the surface, oh, yeah, and oh, by the way, Albert Pujols loves him and called the Cardinals and said, you got to hire this guy. I came to the Dodgers, Pujols said. I came to the Dodgers, and I was a terrible hitter by that stage in my career. I hadn't been a really good hitter for a long time, and I told him, you know, what do you see? Tell me what I can do. And Brent Brown told – I know I told this story before. Brent Brown, the new Cardinals hitting coach, told Albert Pujols, he says, well, the first thing is I'm not going to treat you like you're Albert Pujols. And Pujols didn't say, what do you mean? Pujols actually knew where he was going with this. He said, like everyone else, Albert, I've marveled at watching you when you were with the Cardinals in your first couple, 3 years in with the Angels and what you could do. You didn't need any instruction. You had your swing just what you needed, where to have it. I mean, and you had your swing discipline. You got a little jumpy. You started chasing pitches, not taking enough walks, but that swing was still the same. But he told him, Brent Brown told Pujols, he said, but as you got older, a lot changed. And you didn't sort of take into account the fact that you were getting older and you weren't going to athletically be as sharp or quick with the bat and a lot of other things. So he said, I'm going to treat you like you're just a guy. Like if any player, I didn't even know his name, came in here and I had looked at his video of him hitting and the player said to me, well, what do I need to do? He said, I'm going to treat you, Mr. Pujols, like I would treat some, AAA ball player that comes in here based on what I see. Pujols, being a great, smart individual, said, oh, please do that. So Brent Brown told him, you know, no, here's what I see, the before and the after, and it's pretty significant. And here's what we got to do. And they modified his swing, his approach. And I think I told you this in another video, in case you missed it, The other thing that Brant Brown did was he told Pujols, he said, quit lifting weights. And Pujols says, what do you mean, man? He said, because you're big enough. You're too big. You don't have enough flexibility. You need to get trimmer. You need to get looser, and you need your body to move better. Everything moving better, quicker. Speed. It will speed up your bat. You'll be able to turn on pitches quicker and get more force behind it. So lay off the weights, lose some weight, and it'll help you as a hitter. And that's exactly what happened for Pujols in 2022. So if you wonder why I didn't, like some of you, as soon as they hired Brant Brown, it's like, oh, there they go, just hiring some bum. I never heard of him. No, I think he's really good. And Skip Schumacher also, who was his was the manager when Brant Brown was a coach of the, down at the Marlins. And the Dodgers had Brant Brown under their employ for 5 years. That tells you a lot there, because nobody's smarter than the Dodgers. That's why I think Brant Brown can make a difference. I'm not saying he will. I'm not saying, oh, he'll fix this. This going to be easy. Easy peasy. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying he's got the kind of style. He's got the kind of eye that can get these guys back on at least level ground where they're not drowning all the time, and then they can build from there. I do have reasonable hopes with that. And there's a couple things also about each individual hitter, Walker and Gorman, that I see are problems that are definitely fixable. And if Brant Brown can talk to them about strike zone discipline and talk to them about not hitting the pitcher's pitch, but hitting their pitch, and if they can talk about being aggressive early in counts and not letting pitchers get ahead because you're taking called strikes or you're chasing, in Walker's case, low and away pitches, and you're getting yourself in a hole, and Gorman does it too. And then all of a sudden, you know, you're way up against it. You're starting to panic a little bit, and your confidence is squeezed even more. You got to take command of the strike zone, and you can take command of the strike zone because these pitchers in 2025, I bet you Brant Brown's telling them some of this stuff. These pitchers in 2025 saw how easy it was to get ahead of you two in the count, either because you're chasing pitches or you're taking strikes. They're going to challenge you. They're going to throw strikes early in the count because they saw what you did last year. You did nothing. You just got worse and worse. So until you show that you're going to throw me a first pitch strike down the middle. You're going to throw me a strike on a 1-0 count or an 0-1 count. You're going to throw one right down the middle. Okay. I'm going to swing this time. It's so much of it is up here. But I can't sit here and condemn Walker and Gorman for losing their confidence, losing their way, and just getting all messed up with the headwires all tangled up at such a young age in the major leagues. I just can't simply condemn or dismiss them as if they are irreparably broken. I think that's just stupid. I'm not going to do it. If they have another horrible year, well, then you have to reevaluate a little bit. But I ain't going to do it yet. So if they can get closer to 2023, all of a sudden this Cardinals offense is better, and all of a sudden the confidence is better, and all of a sudden Gorman and Walker are getting closer to the point where, okay, these are the guys that we thought they would be. Okay, now we're seeing it again. It's not like young hitters have, gone sort of over the edge and just fallen apart early in their career and, weren't able to turn it around. I mean, I think that's a pretty common experience myself. And in each case, I've identified a couple things. In 2023, let's start with Gorman, and I'll try to be quick on this. When in 2023, one thing Gorman did, he worked with his own coach in the offseason and said, like, he went to maybe Driveline or one of those hitting schools, things like that, where they use a lot of advanced technology. Oh, no, make it go away. Yeah, advanced technology. Gorman's into that stuff, and it actually helps him. So one of the problems he had in 2022 as a rookie is that he couldn't, as they say, the vernacular, he couldn't get on top of the four-seam fastball. They were pitching him high, and he just couldn't get a good swing on it. So He worked on that all off season. In 2023, he crushed four-seam fastballs, slugging percentage of 500. I'll just leave it at that. But in 2024, worse than ever when it came to four-seam fastballs. Gorman, and this is all about the way you're standing. It's where you're holding your, you're positioning your hands. It depends on, you know, whether you're kind of backloading the swing, you know, maybe setting up a little deeper like that where you can just kind of unload when you're bringing your momentum of the swing forward. There's all kinds of mechanical things that go into that. But last year, four-seam fastballs, he hit 162 and his slugging percentage was like in the low 300s. And he also struck out a nasty, nasty, nasty amount of time. So that's one thing. If Gorman can get back to what he did in 2023, and why wouldn't he be able to do that? Because he did it in 2023. And again, he's not 39 years old. He'll be 25 in May. It wasn't that long ago when he could get on top of those fastballs. So I think it's reasonable to have some optimism there, especially with the new coach. Here's the other thing with Gorman, and this stuff basically applies to hitters of all ages and experience, but still, with Gorman, I think it was especially acute. I think it was extreme. Without giving you, I will give you some numbers because I have to illustrate what I'm talking about. But Gorman took way too many called strikes last year. He was down 0-1 too many times. He was down 0-2 too many times. He was down 1-2 too many times. And a high percentage of the pitches thrown to him were after he got down 0-1, after he got down 0-2. You know, they would kind of go in for the kill because the pitchers would have the advantage, 1-2. He would concede the advantage to them by not swinging at strikes that were very hittable. And then they start throwing him the junk. He couldn't hit changeups. So they'd get ahead of him by throwing fastballs that he wouldn't swing at. And now he's down. Then they come in with the changeup, and he's absolutely futile against the changeup last year. Those two pitches, awful. They have a value rating at StatCast against four-seam fastballs last year. You know, Gorman was 12 is like a minus 12. That's about as bad as you can get on any individual pitch. And he was really bad on changeups too, about a minus 6 or 7. So anyway, last year when Gorman swung and connected when the count was even, I don't have to explain, right? 1-1, 2-2. He hit 269. He slugged 523, struck out 26% of the time. That's doable. And so we're talking about 687 pitches on an even count, and his numbers were good. 523 slugging percentage, nothing wrong with that. When he was ahead on the count, 405 pitches, he hit 286. He also took the advantage in the count to draw a lot of walks, so he had a 483 on base percentage when he was ahead in the count. And he slugged 548. Are you kidding me? A 286 average, 483 on base, and a 548 slug? And only a 21% strikeout rate? So let's combine the two. When he was either even in the count or ahead in the count, and that's about 1,100 pitches. Nolan Gorman last year, for all his failure, when it was even or ahead in the count, he hit 276. He had a 372 on base percentage, and he slugged 533. He had an excellent barrel rate, double digits. His hard hit rate was good. He hit 14 home runs in those situations. He struck out 24% of the time. See, that's my point. This is fixable because a lot of it is mental. And even in a brutal year, and that was a brutal year with the way it just went fast, quickly downhill, Gorman was a very imposing hitter when on even counts or when he got ahead of the pitchers. He got really messed up. He was his own worst enemy by getting down in the count so many times. And yeah, it really is that simple. I didn't say it's simple to correct. Gorman has to clear his mind and start over again, but we saw him do it once, and we even saw him do it last year. even when he was going through terrible times, you know, if they would make the mistake of getting down in the count to him, they gave him a chance to do some damage. So when he was behind in a count last year, and again, I know just about every hitter in the big leagues, he's not nearly as good when he's behind in the count as opposed to being even or ahead in the count. But Gorman was particularly awful. When he was behind in the count last year, it was over 500 pitches, I do believe. He hit 099 with a 212 slugging percentage, and he struck out 60% of the time when he was behind the count. He was basically doomed. He was doomed to failure. Not 100%, but close to it. Two strike pitches last year, 514 of them. Batted 117, slugged 212, struck out 61% of the time. That's why it's important for Gorman to get the jump on the pitcher in terms of managing the early counts. You don't want to be 0-1. You want to be 1-0. You don't want to be 0-2. You obviously want to be in better shape than that. You don't want to be 1-2 because that's just as bad as being down, just about as bad as being 0-2. When he can fight them to a draw, let's say through, okay, say it's a 1-1 count, or then maybe it's a 2-2 count. When Gorman can fight them to a draw, or he can get ahead of them more consistently, he is an entirely different hitter. He goes from one of the very worst that you can even imagine to someone that you'd say, yeah, I'm glad this guy swings a bat for the Cardinals. I mean, it's like a different person. That can be fixed. That there can be a resolution there. This can be repaired. This can be smoothed out and refined. And I think after what he went through last season, I think Nolan Gorman's going to be a highly motivated individual, especially with the new batting coach, to give him some stuff that'll fire him up. All right. Why would I have hope in Jordan Walker? Because some of you, and I appreciate it, have mentioned the fact that Jordan Walker, and I know a lot of this started with Eduardo Perez, our old friend from the Cardinals, who's on ESPN Sunday Night Baseball, was talking about he saw Walker and says, look at the way he's set up. He's all screwed up. I don't know how you can hit like that. I mean, totally screwed up. He's like making himself into a pretzel. And I'm not talking about one of those stick pretzels. I'm talking the ones that are all knotted up. Eduardo Perez was just bewildered by it. It's, you know, and what he was also getting at was like, why are the Cardinals letting this go on? Why aren't they doing something about it? This young dude can't hit well, setting up at the plate like that. It's ridiculous. And it was. So Walker went down to Memphis for a long time. He didn't do all that great there. Then he started to hit. I guess Mike Antico helped him out. Again, his teammate was the guy to fix this. All right? His teammate. Not a major league coach. Not a major league manager. Right? Not a roving instructor. No. A Memphis Redbird outfielder. Say, hey, Walk, I see some things. Can I show them to you? Maybe we can work. Oh, yeah. And at that point, Walker was he was so thirsty for anybody to help him out. Okay, here's what happened. He did change his stance. And my friend Dane Perry of CBSSports.com, who is a lifelong Cardinals fan, he also has a Birdie Work blog. I recommend you subscribe to it. He did a real good thing towards the end of last season where he talked about, he showed some photos of Walker's before stance, the really bad one, and then the changes that he made to modify his stance. And I'll just read you this. He set his hands lower and further back. And generally speaking, he set up in a way where he's pointed more outward rather than like curling up and, you know, sort of getting himself tangled up in knots. He was more forward thinking, more direct to the path of the ball. Dane Perry noted that Jordan Walker began to set his hips in a more open position. And he got his hips he was much more fluid in his swing, and he got his hips into the swing, which he wasn't doing before. He made another adjustment where his hands moved back a little bit. That meaning that when now that his legs were set up right and his hips were set up straight, he really could go into a pitch with a lot of momentum because he was starting from back here. And, you know, by the time that pitch was in a position to hit, he had some really strong momentum working on his behalf because the way his body and his hands and his hips were making. And he started hitting the ball with more force. Dane Perry and some others explained that Jordan Walker's, after the changes, his bat was at a better angle. His hips started leading the swing, and on and on and on and on. You say, okay, well, how did he do after making these changes and taking a little while to get used to the changes that he made, to where you get comfortable, where that now it feels like your swing. It doesn't feel like, it feels like your approach, the way you're setting up, your mechanics. It doesn't seem odd. It doesn't seem, you know, something that makes you uncomfortable. You get used to it, and then you feel really good about it. So I'll tell you what he did. He came up in August and didn't do much. In September, and I know it's a small sample, but the small sample means something because this September sample came after he made some very vital changes in the way he sets up and swings at pitches, right? So in September, he had a 44% hard hit rate. He batted .253. It was a lot worse than that before that. He slugged .494. Until September in the major leagues, he had slugged .221. In the major leagues before September, he had hit .143. So he had a .439 OPS. So let me repeat that. Before September, Jordan Walker hit .143. He had a .218 on base. He had a .221 slug and a .439 OPS and no home runs, none. In September, .253 average. I didn't write down his on base percentage. I apologize. .253 average, a .494 slug, a .680 OPS, 6 doubles, 5 home runs, 16 RBIs. All of a sudden, from a productivity standpoint, the September 2024 Walker, after making all these changes and getting used to them, the September of 2024 Walker looked a hell of a lot like, or at least in terms of the raw numbers, looked very similar to the 2023 version of Jordan Walker. So that's why I think I'm hardly a Pollyanna. I'm hardly being Fred Bird, the mascot columnist and vlogger. Go team! For expressing two things. They can be fixed. The problems have been identified. In Walker's case, he made the adjustments. He got a head start on it late last season, and it was a huge difference in his hitting. And a lot of Gorman's problems are mechanical, getting on top of that high fastball, but also just the mental challenge of not just letting the pitchers get ahead of you all the time. This can be cured. I can't put a percentage of probability on it, but it can be cured. These guys are still really young. They're still learning. They're still, last year they went through, it felt really good to play baseball in 2023. And then in 2024, all of a sudden, it's like, they're probably that time so that I'll never hit again. I'm totally messed up. I'm finished. And you could just see it when they were at the plate. I mean, they were two lost souls at the plate, right? So, yeah, I got some optimism, and I don't think it's crazy at all to anticipate improvement that can make a difference. Up to them to do it. If they fail, I'll be the first one here saying, remember that video that I did in the offseason about how I think they're going to get better? Okay, I was wrong. I'm happy to admit that if, in fact, I'm wrong. But I have a better feeling about these guys after looking at the breakdown of all the stuff that I presented to you. All right, that'll do it. I like getting into this stuff, getting into the nitty gritty, because again, you say, well, what we know the problem, what are some of the answers? And I like to try to at least identify things. Well, that's it. And that's what you got to change. That's what you got to fix. And I'm no coach, but the amount of information that is available, man, you can identify these things pretty quickly as long as you're willing to do the homework. And sometimes it takes you a while to find the actual stuff because you're looking at so many different things before you can hit the bullseye. So anyway, I just wanted to explain why, if these two guys can start to rock out again the way they did in 2023, I think if they do it, I mean, the Cardinals offense is going to look like a hell of a lot better in 2025. All right, y'all have a wonderful rest of the day. I'll be back tomorrow morning here on The Bernie Show on YouTube. Thanks for your support.